Greetings, friends, and welcome to the Beach Church Podcast. This is the podcast for Sunday, September 3rd, the year of our Lord, 2023. It is a joy to welcome you here to the podcast. It's good to be back. I had several weeks off. My heartfelt thanks to my friend Bill Cutler for holding things down in my absence. And we had some time to relax and finish our move, my family and I. Now we are settled in the new house, and I'm back at the wheel here. And it feels good. It feels really good. So let's get back to work. Let's do what we do. And first, that is to just breathe, to celebrate life by taking in the breath of life, to take it in and to let it out and to savor it. It's beautiful to be alive and to breathe and to have a moment where we can think about things that are excellent and worthy and lovely. Call to mind the people that you love the most. Celebrate those highlights of your life, the things you're looking forward to in the week ahead. Thank God for all of it. And in this mind and posture, let's begin together in worship. Please join with me in the call to worship as printed in the bulletin. You can find the bulletin just below where you found today's podcast. Click on that. I think it might say sermon notes. You tap on that, click on it, and the bulletin will come up for you. Let's begin. Loving God, you call us to turn away from our own selfish interests, to take up our cross and to follow you, to find our lives. May we live them in service of your mission. As we come before you this morning, give us open hearts and open our hands. Make us eager to hear your voice and seek your guidance. Open our minds to your ever-present Spirit that is always moving within and around us. Open our spirits to your nudging, and open our lives to your love. Amen. Our scripture reading today comes from Romans in the 12th chapter, verses 9 through 21. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. No. If your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. For in doing this, you will heap burning coals on their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is the word of God for the people of God, and we give thanks to God for it. Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of this day. We thank you, God, for the gift of your word alive and among us. We pray that you would genuinely and wholly inspire us, that your spirit would come alive within us. Help us to hang on every word today. Help us to discern which words are the greatest gift to each and every one of us. We pray, O God, save us from distraction. Save us from misinterpretation. And bless us with your wisdom and peace. We ask this in the name of Christ and say, Amen. It is good to be back. I love doing this thing that I get to do, to come into a quiet sanctuary space on the beautiful Pensacola beach and sit with you and reflect on the Word of God and what it means in our lives, what it meant then and how it is that it can inspire us in our living today. I was gone for a couple weeks in the process of moving. My family and I bought a house in Pensacola off the beach. We've been living in the church parsonage, this little house that's right in the church parking lot. But it was time for us to find a place of our own and to move over to Pensacola. And it's been quite a process. Any of you who have moved recently or you have that experience, just the moving itself is plenty. The packing and the moving and the sorting and all that stuff. And then we threw into that, we bought a house that was a fixer-upper of sorts. And so we've been in the process of a renovation. And I've never done that. We've never had a house renovated. I mean, we've put in carpet and paint and that kind of stuff. But this was a little bit more work than that, a lot more work than that. And the process of it is interesting, to be polite. It's not a lot. It can be fun, but they're all the little details. It's a collection of details of fits and finishes and then getting the right person to do the work and then holding your breath that when the work is complete, it's going to be the way you had hoped. And so with, cabinets and countertops and flooring and carpet and paint and electrical stuff, I've been so hyper-focused on all these little but important details that when it finally came time, when the project was finished and the last box was taken out of the moving truck, and we had spent a week really trying to get in there, unpack, and be home, it wasn't maybe until the last day or so that I was able to take off that hyper-focus, that lens of trying to examine every detail, this project that we'd paid for. Did it come out the way we'd wanted? Is all of the fits and all of the finishes, are they what we want? and to pause and to take back the lens and to look at it all in its entirety as one beautiful thing, and breathe and say, thanks to God. What a gift, a place to call home for my family, to gather for all the things that families do, new opportunities to meet new neighbors, and to really pull in that which is good and lovely about all of this. How does it relate to what we're reading today? Well, I think this. Paul writes to a church, a church that is, in its way, going through a renovation, a church that's been through a lot in its brief history and is seeking its way forward and is mired in its detail. A church that needs to be reminded of first things, needs to be reminded that its first mission and commission is to love, and that there are details in worship to work out. There are the cultural differences that are in play in this congregation, right? The variety of people that come to be present in this church in Rome. And Paul says, pull back the lens. You're hyper-focused on some of these details here, and they're important details. But if you keep first things first, the details will often work themselves out. The divisions that you feel will not be the chasm that you imagine that they are. And what does it begin with? Well, verse 9, it begins with love. And not just any kind of love, but genuine love. Love with no ulterior motive. Love that's not seeking some gift in return. Love for the sake of loving. Loving for God's sake and the sake of others. And the reminder that when we love that way, we are blessed and filled up. Paul says, let love be genuine and hate what is evil, because nothing will dilute or diminish or discourage this genuine love than when we nurture that which is not compatible with love. Evil. The absence of the good. The privation of good. So if there are things that are just not good, if there are sources of that fighting, of that fear, of that shaking of fist and gnashing of teeth, don't feed it. Don't give it any air. Don't give it enough sunshine. Don't water it. Pull it out like a weed. Cast it out so that that genuine love can flourish and so that you can hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. How encouraging is this? That if our mission is we wake up as members of a church body, members of this little community that gathers around a podcast, if we can be inspired by Paul in this mutual affection, outdo one another in showing honor. Right? This is not a one-upsmanship. It's not a competition of who can pick up the most checks at lunch. It is I'm going to focus my attention on what is best in you. And I'm going to encourage it. And in ways that I can, I want to nurture it. I want to bring you a good word of good cheer. And as he goes on in this letter, and we'll just read through several of these verses. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit and serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. And here is a challenge. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. As we all know, and I know some of you who listen to this regularly, you know very, very well what it is to be patient in suffering and to persevere in prayer. This community of love, specifically the church in Paul's day, this specific church that he is writing to, and to the church that is the community that gathers around this podcast. And I pray that if you're remote from the Pensacola Beach, that you get yourself connected, if you can, if it's physically possible for you, get yourself connected to a church body so that you can be in relationship with others who can help you, be partners with you in your suffering, that can persevere with you in prayer. He continues on to say, contribute to the needs of the saint, extend hospitality to stranger, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse them. To constantly be fueled by and inspired by that which is good, by love. Now, it doesn't mean this very past, don't allow people to abuse you. I don't hear Paul saying that. But in many of the offenses in our lives, the people that we might understand to be enemies because maybe we're ideologically opposed to them, we have no worldview overlap. Again, that is to reject that. Don't let the seeds of discontent sprout in your soul. Don't participate in their lies. I keep hitting the microphone. Don't participate in their lies, but know that if you experience them to be mean or bitter or selfish, that meanness, that bitterness, that selfishness may come from some wound that they bear, some evil that they've endured, and it's afflicted them and affected them and diminished their ability to be civil or kind or loving, and maybe the thing they need, very likely the thing they need, is somebody's patience, somebody's kindness, someone that won't let them walk all over them, might name the hurt they do, and then invite them out for a cup of coffee. Then maybe write them a note of encouragement. Again, he's talking to a church. He's talking to a church. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. It's an exercise, I think, in understanding what in most of our hearts, doing what we know to be right, even when it may cost us a little extra money, it may take a little bit more of our time, it may force us to turn down our ego, our desire to be right, our desire to win. But to meditate on the mind, to do our best to think, act, breathe, and live according to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Which is not to foment anger and fear, not to get people stirred up with violent rage, to not nitpick, to not seek perfection, but to offer grace and peace and love and hope and joy and charity. There is just so much here that Paul encourages us in. And that if we want, it's also deep in us, I know, in our more sinful nature, to seek revenge, to get back, to balance the scales a little bit. And Jesus, Paul says, someone has to be the one to break the cycle of retribution. I hit you, you hit me, then I hit you back. And if someone doesn't stop that cycle. It never ends, which is kind of the story of the history of the world. But to follow the one whom they arrested, the one whom they struck and beat and accused falsely, who had all the power and the authority and the right to bring retribution on their heads. What he does instead, in the midst of his persecution, he says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing." If you feel you're being persecuted, if sometimes it just feels like all too much, to offer that gracious prayer on behalf of your tormentor, your enemy, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing." That forgiveness leads to resurrection. That forgiveness leads to a third day in an empty tomb, in a whole new way of living in the world. Spend some time in this 12th chapter of Romans. Think about what it means to believe in God, to think about Jesus, what he's done, and how it changes our lives. And the more we do that, the more we experience that this is very good news, to which I say, amen. Heavenly Father, we call out to you and we give you thanks. And we confess that sometimes living up to the words of this passage of Scripture today can be difficult for us. But we pray that as we turn our eyes toward you, we pray that our love will be genuine, that we will hold fast to what is good, that we will reject evil. We pray, O God, that you would make us zealous for you, ardent in spirit, that you would give us the faith and strength to be patient in suffering and to persevere in prayer. Help us to be more hospitable and forgiving and empathic. And help us to step aside, and where there is vengeance to be done, to leave it to you and to trust in your plan. God, we pray for the leaders of this world. Show them who they are. Inspire them with your grace. For those who feel forgotten and lost, those who just strive to make it through one more day, bless them. Encourage them. Come alongside them. Those who do not know you, O God, I pray that you would be revealed to them. Bless those who are recovering from the most recent hurricane here in Florida. Bless those devastated on the island of Maui as they recover from the trauma of this fire. And God, I pray that you'd meet us, each and every one of us who listens, meet us right where we are. Draw close to us. You know that each and every one of us, we have a list of joys and concerns, our prayer list. And we pray, O God, that in this moment, as we make quiet space to sit still in your presence, we pray that you would come, consider our prayer lists, and bless us with comfort and joy. We break our silence. We thank you for the gift of peace and quiet. We thank you for your presence in the midst of it all. And we ask that you lean in and hear us as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, as we move on from this moment together, I pray that we will be inspired. Inspired by Paul's letter to this church in Rome so long ago. That it's filled with eternal truth. That it's filled with power for living right here and right now. Because it's filled with the Word of God. Our God. Whom we know in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, who is with us and bids us peace. Go in peace. Amen.